Sam mentioned that Lynn and I spoil our bees, and I have 7 or 8 bee stings from yesterday to prove that. They weren't very grateful, but then again, I wasn't treating them all that sweet. I was doing some necessary work with them. And they're at the point now, 24 hours later, where it just itches, top to bottom. Tomorrow is June 6th. June 6th, 75 years ago, tomorrow was D-Day. And I probably don't have to go into much detail as to what D-Day was, but essentially it was the largest combined naval, air, and land operation in history. It was an incredibly significant event. And it was merely the beginning of efforts by the Allies to bring an end to World War II. And a lot of people gave their lives on that day and on the days to come in an effort to save mankind from domination by evil forces. Another incredibly significant event in history is described in the Gospel of John in the first chapter by the inspired writer as he introduces Christ. He writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, as we read those words for the first time, like so much of the Bible, we really don't understand what the author is talking about. It takes an effort on our part to follow the writer's train of thought and to study by reading in context and by reading the whole gospel, the whole Bible, and that we see eventually that John makes it abundantly clear in this single verse that Jesus Christ is eternal, that Jesus Christ is identified with God, and that Jesus Christ is God. He's come in the flesh, the purpose of which John reveals later in the chapter. Yeah, the Gospel of John describes Jesus Christ coming into the world in verse 9 as the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The true light, Jesus the Word, has come into the world and is made available to every person. The light that can lead to eternal life is available to every person. But every person's got to be willing to look for that light, to face that light, to seek that light, to seek the Word in order to benefit from Christ's redeeming power. Now, John the Baptizer, not to be confused with John the author of the Gospel of John. John the Baptizer was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, making straight the way of the Lord, as was prophesied in Isaiah 40, verse 3. John's mission from God was to awaken Israel to the prophecies of the Messiah and appoint those to the light, those who would believe in Christ. And upon their first encounter, John the Baptizer and Jesus, upon their first encounter, in verse 29, John reveals Jesus to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the purpose for which Christ came in the flesh. So why did John call Jesus the Lamb of God? Well, once again, it takes study. It takes understanding. It takes a fervent desire to find the truth in order to answer that question. Old Testament sacrifices, such as those that are described in the book of Leviticus, tell us how the sacrificial lamb, for one, could bring forgiveness of sin through the law of Moses. But under the New Testament, we read in Romans 8, beginning in verse 3, how the sacrifices under Mosaic law were not able to keep us free from sin like Christ could. We read, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. On the cross, he became the sacrifice for our sins as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, how does he take away the sins? How does he take away the sins of the world? Well, he does it one believer at a time. It's not automatic. It takes a conscious effort on the part of the believer, on the part of mankind. John tells us about this in chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. He says, as many as received him, that is Christ, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now, how are we to be born of God? In John 3, verses 5 and 6, Jesus tells Nicodemus, a Pharisee, an educated leader of the Jews, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So Jesus is the Word, and by his Word, he tells us in John 4:24, God is Spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You know, the Gospel of John describes an incredibly significant event in history. Salvation through Christ, the coming of Christ. And one day, we'll all be together at the most significant event yet that Sam was speaking about a moment before, the return of Christ. Many gave their lives on D-Day in an effort to save mankind from domination by evil. Jesus gave his life in an effort to save mankind from domination by evil. And when Christ returns, will he find you as a child of God? Will he find you worshiping in spirit and in truth? Will he find you having taken advantage of his effort, of his sacrifice, of his death? He will find you. So have you listened to Christ, the Word? Do you have faith that he can save you? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We learn that in Romans. Paul writes that in chapter 10, verse 17. Hearing and believing leads to repentance and the desire to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah. Obey Jesus' commands in Mark 16:16, in order to completely follow God's plan of salvation. He said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And Jesus never said we'd be saved if we do some of these things. There are biblical examples that abound that show us how God's children must obey all of his commands. If you're not sure whether you've done all of the things, all of the ways that God requires, then please let us know. Please let us know so we can help you study the Word and determine his will. And if you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, or you have any other needs that you'd like to make known to the church that we can help you with, please come forward as we stand, as we sing.